Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and I have my notes for today's OTA. It's actually mandatory minicamp, the final day on 6-10-26. Unpadded practice, of course. Beautiful clear skies during practice. There's a deluge that started almost as soon as I got to my car. So I was literally putting together a little one-minute video to talk about what happened in very brief that I posted on Twitter. And it was just starting to drizzle. I hopped in my car, and some of the worst rain I've ever driven through on the way home. So anyway, we missed all that for practice, which was nice. So practice was outside. Kind of had a last day of school vibe to it. It always does for this particular practice. Because the players go on break for 5+ weeks until training camp. And during that time, their time is largely their own. Minter had comments on that I'll get to a little later at the podium. Some players not practicing today included Zay Flowers, Corey Bullock, Teddy Buchanan, Nnamdi Madubuike, Nate Wiggins, John Jenkins, Travis Jones. There were others who were there, and particularly some vets who did not practice. I'll get to in a moment. But Buchanan, he may have been there, but I did not see him in uniform. Elijah Surratt showed up late. I did not see him in any 11 on 11s. He was not really an active participant today. He did have a kind of a physical play down by the goal line where he dove for a ball. So they may have been just being cautious about something. Chidobe Awuzie, Bilal Kone, Rashad Bateman, Ronnie Stanley, Marlon Humphrey. I think Calais Campbell also is in this category. They were all present, but did not take part in any 11 on 11 drills. So, an abundance of caution being taken with the vets. Mitcher talked about trying to get everyone through healthy this day as being a primary goal. There were three tryout players as the same ones yesterday. I won't get into that again. The primary two corner centers who got reps today were Gwynn and Pinter. Bullock, again, dealing with a physical issue. So Gwynn and Pinter kind of sprinting out to a little bit of a lead in terms of their competition. But Minter was quick to make the point that the pads hadn't come on yet, and then there'll be some differentiation that starts to occur at that center position once that does occur and the reps are more competitive. Punt drills were split in parts with alternating reps for gunners and then the linemen and punt rush. So an interesting way to do it, but that's the way Anthony Levine does it. Oftentimes, this time of year, you're kind of building up the full team punt reps, and they didn't get to there. They kicked some balls. The gunners went down after the balls, and then the next play is a snap and another punt. They have two punters, fortunately, so nobody's getting too leg-weary from this. And they had various players rushing the kicker. Nobody tries to block the punt. It's not that kind of a practice, but they are trying to give their best effort to the man opposite them so they can each kind of have a chance to not win the rep, but at least see some element of competition and learn something from the rep. What else we got? Kickoff drills. They had those. Now, for that, they didn't use Tyler Loop to do that. They instead used a Jugs gun for kickoffs. The returners that I saw out there were Wester, McDoom, Ali, and Wade. Interesting that Adam Randall was not included in that group. I did not see him out there doing that. I'm sure that Justice Hill could do it in his sleep anytime they need to ask him to do it. But there's probably a desire not to to use him in that role. I think this is probably an area where if Wester gets one of the two spots on the back end, that's probably a good thing for him. But on the other hand, Wester has been very explosive as a receiver in this camp so far. So he's been one of the surprises and one of the guys I have hope for this summer as taking a part in the offense who really didn't have one in 2025. Some 7-on-7 highlights. We saw Robert Longerbeam break up a pass for Cortez Bram by the right sideline. A lot of PDs today, by the way. The defense had a good day of breaking up passes, and they were a little bit more, I won't say physical, but they're trying to get after the football in a way that we have not seen so far. They did not have an interception, but they had a lot of PDs. Tez Walker, who had a kind of a tough day. He was having a tough day getting a ball, getting a connection on a football because he got played very well by the opposing defenders. But on this play, he tripped about 30 yards down the right sideline on a ball that was overthrown by Lamar. It was overthrown. He overthrew everyone. But Tez Walker had already gone down on the play, so it was fortunate. And a little bit of a scary moment because Walker got up a little slowly and came back to the the offensive side of the field. Trenton Simpson had a pass defense intended for Mark Andrews. It was about 5 yards between the right hash and the numbers. This play was flagged as defensive holding, but it really is the kind of play we need to see from Trenton Simpson, to see him getting after the football. Now, it's unfortunate that he was also flagged on the play, but I don't discount the value of it in terms of him finding the football in the air. Malachi Starks had a pass defense coming from behind versus Andrews, which was also looked very good. Huntley took a coverage sack as the Ravens secondary plastered everybody. He wasn't able to find an open receiver, and eventually the play was blown dead after 5+ seconds. So a nice look from the secondary. You can hold up your coverage in 7-on-7. That's a good thing. Kayvon Wallace had a pass defense in the end zone. It was all the way against the right boundary on a ball thrown by Skylar Thompson for Josh Cuevas. It was thrown probably just a little bit behind him, and he came across and knocked it free. And it's where the ball kind of had to be. It just had to be there earlier because he was right on the sideline there and needed to make that play at that spot. It just, the ball needed to be there, an instant quicker. Cuevas had a drop shortly thereafter on a 5-yard pass to the left. Wasn't a PD, although there was some coverage. But a little flat route and he dropped the football. That's all, just really is that simple. On 11-on-11 highlights, we got more for you. Trey Hendrickson came in quickly for a tackle for loss versus Derrick Henry. And again, just, try to get off quickly, get into the backfield. Nobody's tackling each other. There's not even any kind of a flag football move or a touch football move where you're looking to kind of slap the guy on both his front and his back to indicate that you would have had the tackle. It's just he was in the spot to make the tackle. Play was blown dead. Dayton Wade, who did have a real good day for the offense, extended 10 yards between the hashes to catch a ball from Lamar with Tampa trailing. So Tampa was trail technique there, and he reached forward outside the frame of his body to make that catch. Something we've seen a lot from Jacoby Lane, less so from many other receivers this set of OTAs so far. Wade caught another 20-yard ball right on the right sideline from Thompson, and he was one of the few real offensive standouts of the day. Lamar had a run play. He outraced Tavius Robinson to the edge on a run right. And we always wonder, just would that play have worked if it was run in anger or run with real intent to tackle? Because nobody wants to be the guy who pushes down Lamar Jackson and causes him to go into either his 5-week vacation, if you want to talk about it that way, with an injury, or to risk that he might be missing part of camp or God forbid the whole season or a portion of the season. So anyway, he outraced Robinson at the right edge on a run, and he looked kind of vintage Lamar doing that. Carson Vinson had an initial loss to Trey Hendrickson, and Minter has made mention of the fact that Hendrickson and Vinson have had a good relationship. I mean, they're often are facing each other. Carson Vinson has been the primary left tackle. Ronnie Stanley hasn't taken reps there yet. And Trey Hendrickson, of course, is the guy on that edge. That's the edge he always rushes from. So those two have gotten to know each other extremely well. And it looked like this was a case where Hendrickson had beaten him with his first move, and then Vinson directed him around the pocket in what I call a 12-6 block that I thought looked pretty good. And I'm not sure if it would have avoided the sack, again, if the game was being played in anger, because it was a good initial move from Hendrickson, certainly, to do that, but it's also a nice recovery from Vincent. Cornelius Johnson, number 86, made a diving catch 15 yards between the numbers and the left hash. I did not see who actually threw that ball, but that's what I've got for you there. Tyler Huntley overthrew Jacoby Lane about 15 yards between the numbers and left hash. Also, that ball may have been tipped at the line of scrimmage. And then on the back end, Marquise Robinson made a move on the ball, was unable to quite get there. But Marquise Robinson had a nice day, and that was just one of several plays. David Olajiga and Mike Green stretched out Ali to the right sideline for no gain on a run play. They look good doing that together. Keon Martin had a pass defense in coverage of Josh Cuevas. Cuevas, a tough day from Jackson, up 5 yards by the right sideline. Jackson completed a 20-yard pass to Mark Andrews with trailing coverage from an inside linebacker who I only know as Woods. He's a non-roster player who's there on a tryout basis, and I'm not sure which Woods that is even, but he was in trailing coverage and got beat on the play by Andrews. Then Marquise Robinson had a pass defense in coverage of Tez Walker, about 30 yards down the left sideline. Outstanding play by Robinson to basically avoid a fairly easy run through for a DPI. Very few defensive backs, I think, would able, given the position of the play, kind of had his back to the ball, but he judged the stop by Tez Walker and was able to turn and get his hand up at the catch point at that point, which was extremely well done. Very difficult play to make and a very difficult play not to get flagged on, but he did both. Kyle Hamilton, we saw race up the middle for a sack of Skylar Thompson. Play was blown dead fairly quickly there, so it wasn't a question of Thompson getting off the pass. The next play is one that I think would have been the play of the day. Jalen Hawkins raced from behind to knock away a 50-yard pass from Tez Walker. Again, Tez Walker had trouble with connections in this game, but he was flagged for DPI. It may have been defensive holding, but there was a flag in the secondary, and it was clearly aimed at Hawkins doing that. But I think that it was probably holding that it occurred earlier, and then he raced back into the play and made a play on the football and knocked it away. So still, much like what I talked about earlier with Trenton Simpson and his PD, seeing Hawkins do that is a really good sign, I think, and something I take positively from the play. Jackson complete a 15-yard pass at Durham Smythe crossing. Nice throw, nice catch. We don't think of as Durham Smythe as making many such catches. You know, certainly a blocking tight end. I don't think he's going to have more than about 15 targets all year, but to see him make a play like that is always nice. Broderick Washington, kind of a forgotten man in a lot of ways. He's actually been out there quite a lot with the number ones on defense because a lot of the defensive linemen have just been missing. You know, Calais Campbell hasn't been there. He hasn't been in any of the 11-on-11 reps so far that I'm aware. And neither is Travis Jones, who's dealing with some sort of a physical issue, nor has Nnamdi, and nor has John Jenkins. So it's four key defensive lineman for the Ravens who just haven't been seeing time. So Broderick Washington, even though a lot of people think he has a chance to be cut before the rosters are set, there's significant savings involved in that, is still playing football and maybe playing for his next team, or maybe even playing for the Ravens, depending on how things work with the Ravens' health throughout training camp. The inside linebacker Reed Wilford rushed to generate a whistled sack of Tyler Huntley. Nice to always see a player like that get on the board. And Lardarius Webb Jr., obviously some family connections and an undrafted rookie this year, had a pass defense versus Skylar Thompson on a pass intended for Octavian Smith. It was near the right pylon. It ended a series in their goal line sequence, and the defense was able to hold, and we're very excited about it. So they were high-fiving and patting Webb on the back after that play. The defensive MVPs for the day is, I would say, Marquise Robinson was the guy who stood out most to me, but you can pretty much pick a defender. I just told you about a lot of the passes defensed in this, and there were a large number in this game, and I think that in this practice, I should say, and it was something that I think that the Mike Mickens and Jesse Minter are going to be very happy with the defense for playing it so tight in a game like in a practice like this where they couldn't really be physical. The offensive MVPs, I probably say Jackson because he didn't have any. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.com. For some, summer is their favorite season. Travel picks up, kids are out of school, and adventure is the focus. For others, juggling it all can be tough, can make you feel overwhelmed, and can make you count down the minutes until the kids are back in school. I know I look forward to summer as a time to take a break, but as a self-employed person, time spent away from my work is time I stress over wasting. That's where BetterHelp comes in. BetterHelp is a quality therapist who work according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in the U.S. BetterHelp does the initial therapist matching for you so you can focus on your therapy goals. A short questionnaire helps identify your needs and preferences, and their 12-plus years of experience and industry-leading match fulfillment rate means they typically get it right on the first time. If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 6 million people globally. and it works. With an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for a live session based on 1.7 million client reviews. You don't have to say yes to everything this summer. Find support and therapy. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com. That's betterhelp.com. Interceptions. He had some nice throws. Looks like his, you know, he wasn't way behind or overthrowing players generally. These throws were generally on target. And I'd say that Dayton Wade was the receiver who stood out. So, you know, lots of stars on defense, a limited number of stars on offense, but those two I would point to. There was no competition as there had been to end practice on some of the previous days. There was, however, the final set of field goal attempts from Tyler Loop. He was good from 28 in the middle, from 35 on the right hash, from 40 on the left hash. And then his last kick, that 40-yard kick, was to end practice 20 minutes early, effectively. And also, as we heard at the podium, because he made that kick, the meetings afterwards were already canceled. Now, in truth, they probably had already decided those meetings were going to be canceled. It's the last day of school thing again, as I've mentioned before. But it was nice to see Loop make that kick. He talked a little bit about the pressure at the podium. I'll talk about that. I heard one other reporter who, it won't remain nameless, Vinny Serrato, that say that they should have made him kick it from 44. It was just an interesting little call there. But anyway, we moved over to the podium. We hear Jesse Minter. Was asked about Marlon Humphrey, and he said that Marlon and some of the other vets sat out today with an eye to health, that this was, they're just going to be careful about this. And once again, I'm going to paraphrase a lot of things that were said here at the podium, not too many. I'd encourage you to just go out and listen to the interviews. They're out there on the Ravens website, and they're, you know, I'll try and do my best to read between the lines, talk about maybe what isn't said. When I quote people, I'm telling you in advance, I'm paraphrasing things that they say and trying to get the intention correct. The next thing though is basically a direct quote. Jesse was asked about what the message is for players as they head into this 5+ weeks of quote unquote vacation before training camp. And he said that the message is you own your career. And there couldn't be a better message to give players entering that time. I've always really thought highly of players who, in particular, went after positional coaching during the offseason. And you know, there are limited periods where that's really possible. Now, a lot of these times where you might get positional coaching, it might be your own guru, as it was with Lamar Jackson. You might go to a camp that lasts for 2 weeks for offensive linemen. You know, the Bentley camp, LaCharles Bentley camp is known for that. And there are others as well. But it's always good to hear about players who go that extra mile to try and advance their own career. And I think that Jesse's hitting the nail on the head with his comment there. He's asked about the conditioning test, and that's been notorious for the Ravens for years. He said, yes, there will be a conditioning test. I assume, you know, this is one of the elements of the Harbaugh regime that they're keeping around. I said, most vets have passed it already, but the rookies will take it on their first day back. So we'll look forward to that. And hopefully, you know, they don't have a situation where there are a number of vets. You know, I think Michael Pierce might've been in that group at one point, but Lardarius Webb was very famously 1 year, and that was kind of unfortunate. So anyway, you hope that doesn't hold up a vet from being able to start camp. So the center competition is very close with Gwynn and Pinter, but Bullock has worked through a small physical issue, and he expects him to be back when training camp begins. So that'll be, I think, the way it's been set up, the way all of Minter's comments had been, it's probably a 3-man race. And I think it's difficult for it to be more than that, given the total number of reps that are available. So they may do some rotation. They may have established that you know, Gwynn and Pinter are the top two guys, and Bullock's going to have to really make progress to earn reps at a higher level. Or, you know, maybe what Minter also alluded to is that the physicality when they put on pads will just help work this out much quicker than people think. So it's, I think, you know, an interesting battle there. He was also asked about the fact that the off season so far had been very healthy. And he said, yeah, it's a matter of luck. The rules of engagement, he said, they're laid out by the NFLPA. They're very clear in terms of what you could do at these practices and how they try and be good teammates to each other, like be a teammate first and like a competitor second. And you know, try and show the other guy a good look is something he's talked about in previous times of the podium without trying to win the rep directly. So, you know, just learn something from the rep as you go. And I think that the best example was one he gave, you know, a few practices ago. And I don't remember which OTA it was, but he talked about the relationship that Hendrickson and Vincent had. And he particularly liked that one. Lamar Jackson was at the podium next. And he's asked about what he expects to see from Declan Doyle's system. And he said he expected explosiveness. You know, this is something that you know, he praised Declan Doyle's attention to detail and you know, what he thought he was seeing in the offense, which is he made the point multiple times at the podium this offseason. You know, it was very new to him in terms of learning it. He's asked also about his reaction to Myles Garrett being out of the division, which was a resounding yes. and then he kind of backpedaled a little bit about, you know, props to Myles for getting the deal with the Rams. And then they had signed somebody else. So Jared Verse, I think, is who he's referring to, and how he's very good also. And obviously he's played against Verse already in the past. He said he has no plans to assemble the receivers for a throwing session during his time off. The question was asked. He just very matter-of-factly answered is no plans. And just a direct and honest answer from Lamar on that thing. I know it's something members of the media, probably me included, have always been really positive about. Again, any kind of off-season activity between players that builds bonds, builds chemistry, I think is probably a good thing. But, you know, it's also I appreciate the honest answer from Lamar that it's just very direct about it, that he's not planning to do that. Kyle Hamilton was next at the podium. Great to have Kyle Hamilton up there. The guy, he wears glasses normally, apparently, and he wore those to the podium here. He looks like a college professor, or he looks like a young coach, you know, who's getting up there and talking about the game of football at a very cerebral level and whatnot. I asked him about Mike Mickens and what positives he brings to the table. He said, you know, he had experience playing in college, that was important, and he played at a high level, apparently had injuries derail a potential NFL career, but he played for him, by the way, before at Notre Dame, and then also again with the Ravens. He said he's extremely technique-driven, and he said that's rarer than you might think among NFL DB coaches. You know, they're concerned about you're in the right place, but that Mickens, and again, listen to the thing if you want his exact wording, but it's not only do you need to be in the right spot, but you also need to execute that correctly, execute that coverage correctly. So anyway, lots of things about that. He said he was asked about Tyler Loop and what he wanted to do to help him recover from the miss. The question might have been a little different than that. Again, I'm trying to capture the essence of this. He said he wants to be supportive to the degree that's you know, that he can, but getting over that miss comes from introspection, that you really need to look inside and find out, you know, how that's not going to happen, how you're going to get over it, how you're going to get right. And he said specifically, you shouldn't need a lot of attaboys to get right, you know, as a professional athlete. So I thought, you know, it's direct and it's, I think, right on the money. And I appreciate him talking like that. He didn't see Minter as changing everything for a team that has been good. So, you know, we look at the 25 Ravens and people are upset about the underperformance and the fact they went 8-9. They frankly very easily could have won a bad year for the AFC North. This last year, the game in Baltimore with the Steelers was marred by horrific officiating. And the final game, of course, was a missed kick away from the Ravens being in again, despite themselves over the course of the 17 games and the injuries they suffered early on to start off 1-5. And you know, I think he's got the right attitude towards that, is that, and he didn't say all those things. I'm editorializing with that, but what he did say is, you don't need to come in and change everything. If you're a CEO at a company and the company's been performing decently, you don't change everything about that company. We come in, you make tweaks to try and, you know, redirect and whatnot. And he thinks he's seeing that from Minter, but this isn't a place where he thinks everything needs to be changed. And I suspect that goes further than just a play on the field. I mean, it does look like Minter is retaining a lot of the, what I'll call the Ravens way, that's been created over 30 years, not just over the Harbaugh era, but over the Harbaugh and Billick eras, I would say. And it's I think they're keeping a lot of that in place, and I think it's a good thing. This is an organization has a very proud history, and you wouldn't want to just come in and change everything right away. They've made, you know, some good redirective moves. They've hired a top flight offensive line coach. They really hope is going to fix that element of the game, and they've gone in big on hiring defensive coaches, most notably Mike Mickens, to hopefully bring the secondary back to its former glory and get the pass rush rolling again. They've done a number of things from a coaching perspective and also from a personnel perspective to improve this team. But I think a lot of the things in the conditioning test is probably a good example are going to stay the same. I think that's probably very healthy given the organizational success generally that the Ravens have had. Tyler Loop was the last guy at the podium. He was asked about the pressure on the 40-yard practice ending kick. He said, yes, there's pressure, but he believes very much in his process. And he talked multiple times about process and that you have to trust the process. You have to believe in yourself. You have to have confidence, and you have to execute the process. And when it doesn't work out, you have to figure out why it didn't. And he talked about the focus between him and I don't know if you mentioned Randy Brown specifically on this, but I know this is a Randy Brown philosophy, is that they like to kick an end over end straight ball. That's what they're trying to do. And that's between him and Moore and the holder, Eckley and Stout, of course, last year. They're trying to execute that. And he had a lot of praise, by the way, for Moore. And he also, Eckley is new to him. Obviously, he has had good success so far in the OTAs together. But he mentioned that he was one of the best holders coming out of college, and so I think that they're excited about this new three-man wolf pack being hopefully as effective as some of the old three-man groups that were together for years, like Cook, Tucker, and somebody I'm forgetting, which is terrible. The long snapper during that era. Getting old sucks, I'll just tell you, for forgetting names. But anyway, he talked about being a very factual position. You miss it or you don't. You need to figure out why. You need to move on. And I thought that was a good attitude about it. There's a very heavy religious faith overtone to what he did. He quoted Romans during the thing, and he had a significant reflection on how he read scripture to unwind or during quiet time, and he's kind of a outgoing but seemingly kind of a respectful guy. I can't remember hearing him talk at the podium, or can't remember the last time I heard him talk at the podium anyway, and it was just seems like a kid with his head on his shoulders, right, who's going to be fine and be able to turn this around after a big, in a way, a miss that could be career defining, as it was for Billy Condiff, who never really recovered from that miss. Anyway, that's it. And we are done with content now for OTAs. We're not done with content in other ways. We continue with the expectation series. We have some great other shorts lined up for the coming weeks. I hope you listen for that. Look for the death of the base defense, as well as some other things about the Ravens in the post Roquan era that I think are going to be very interesting things to think about. This 5-week period is perfect for recording. And along those lines, if you're out there and you have a topic that you're passionate about the Baltimore Ravens, and you want to talk to me about it on air for a record a show, I'd love to do that with you. You can contact me through any of the normal means, but use filmstudy21@verizon.net is my email, or #filmstudyravens, hashtag filmstudymailbag. If you just have a question you'd like either Voss and I to answer, whatever. Friday Morning GM will continue during this period off. We'll probably have a couple of weeks off during it, but we'll have plenty of content for you. So please keep listening in. And we'll talk to you later on Film Study.